You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. As our guest today, we are welcoming Ramona Trevino as she tells us her story of her journey to Planned Parenthood and back.
Yes, Sherry, Ramona was just 16 when she became pregnant and entered into an abusive marriage, which ended in divorce. Well, she wanted to help girls who were in similar tough situations, so she took a job as the manager of a Planned Parenthood facility. And it wasn't very long before she realized that she was doing women more harm than good. So she decided on a path to seek the truth, no matter where it might take her.
Well, Ramona, with the help of grace, overcame the wounds of her own past while becoming an agent of healing for others. Let's find out how she did this and welcome Ramona Trevino to Mary's Touch. Ramona, welcome. We're glad you're with us today.
Oh, I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And, you know, always the best place to start is kind of at the beginning for your story. And it is truly a beautiful story, a remarkable one, and kind of one that we've heard about Planned Parenthood before. You know, and I think it is our job in the fight for life and standing for life that we need to tell our listeners about you and your story. So do you want to go back just a few years to when you were 16?
Sure. You know, in writing the book, it was difficult to decide, you know, where to begin, really. And I think we all kind of feel that way in our own personal journeys in life. You know, when we're sharing a story of conversion, it's like, where do we begin? You know,
right? Because who knows? Yeah,
absolutely. You know, and really, I've been through some difficult times in my life, and obviously have struggled. And even as, you know, a teen mother and being in an abusive relationship, I look back and I think I couldn't have survived that and gotten through that time either without God's grace. So, you know, I felt like it was really important to share that with the readers. I was pregnant at 16. You know, abortion was not an option for me. My parents never suggested it either. I mean, they really just accepted that, okay, you know, we're going to have a grandbaby. For us, abortion was never talked about in our home. And so I kind of grew up with not really knowing a whole lot about that cultural battle and really a spiritual battle, too, that's going on between, you know, pro-choicers and pro-lifers and all of that. So when I was 16, I became pregnant. And then a few months after my daughter was born, I married her dad. And it was a long 8 years of emotional, physical, I feel like, you know, psychological and even some sexual abuse that took place until I was finally able to get out of that several years later by the grace of God. And our marriage was annulled, and I was able to finally enter into a sacramental marriage with my now husband of almost 9 years.
And so let me ask you, you mentioned that wasn't part of your family, even perhaps your culture. So were you raised Catholic, and because of that, abortion was never talked about, or was it just something that your family didn't believe in, and you know that came with the territory, so to speak?
Right. Yeah, my sister and I were both baptized Catholic. My mom and dad were married in the Catholic Church as well. We were not raised with any formation,
okay. No
First Communion, no confirmation or anything like that. So there was no formation in our faith growing up. But I just think that the graces that came from the from the baptism itself. And I always identified myself as Catholic, never really ever thought about not being Catholic. You know, it was the only thing that I, you know, I really loved my identity as a Catholic person. But I don't really know the reason why abortion wasn't talked about, you know, considering that we weren't really practicing Catholics and my mom and dad were not devout in their faith either. So it's kind of interesting to me looking back why that subject was never touched upon and why it was never something that we considered. I just think it was just something very beautiful that was written on our hearts, of course, that it just the logical thing is just to choose life no matter what. There's not anything to think about when you become pregnant.
Well, and what's interesting is that you're right, that you don't even think about that or it's not discussed, but then you were married at a very early age. I mean, that to me, that is very, very difficult. I mean, I did not get married at an early age and it was still difficult, you know? So here you are. Did you finish school? Were you still going to school at the time or you couldn't do that because of the baby? Or
I was going to school and my plans were, of course, to continue going to school. But because of the relationship that I had with her father during my pregnancy, I actually dropped out of high school. It was too stressful for me to continue, and because I think a lot of the emotional abuse that was going on and just kind of like the mind games that were going on, very difficult for me to concentrate on school.
And then sometime in there, you had a desire to help other people, and one of the ways that you saw as helping would be to make it possible for them to have an option that you didn't have. Is that what brought you to this?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like that wasn't the reason for me working for Planned Parenthood. But when I began working, you know, when that job position was available and was presented to me, I think that's when it became apparent that, oh, hey, here's an opportunity to help people. Like, I didn't go into Planned Parenthood with the intention of I'm going to work for Planned Parenthood so I can help women. It was kind of the opposite, where the job presented itself first and then realizing that, you know, here's an opportunity for me to help young girls who are in similar situations so that we can prevent abortions from ever happening. Because interestingly, you know, I'm one of those rare cases where I wasn't okay with abortion. I didn't go into Planned Parenthood with that mentality of, I agree and I think this is a solution for women. On the contrary, I didn't agree with abortion and I didn't feel like it was right. But I was also caught up in that mentality where most people are in our society, where we think that, you know, because it's a woman's choice and because it's legal and who am I to judge and all those things that we get caught up in, where we have those thoughts of it's not our place to tell someone what to do. And that's the mentality that I had. And then, of course, realizing later on that that was wrong.
Ramona, I'm really surprised they hired you.
Yeah, I don't think they were aware of my thinking. I think what happened was, is when I interviewed for the job, I wanted that job so badly because of the title. You know, I was going to be a manager. I was going to direct my own clinic. This was an opportunity that I had not had presented me before. And, you know, I felt like, wow, you know, this is a great job opportunity. Even if I don't stay here, I could put this on my resume and go forward on to better and bigger things, right?
Sure.
And so I think that's, you know, another way in which the enemy can, you know, entice us into things, you know, blinding us into thinking that this is something good with the desire to be in a position, you know, basically feeling like, oh, you know, this is a great position. You know, the title, my head kind of got big and I said whatever I needed to say in that interview so that they would hire me, basically.
No, I understand. So what? So now you're there, you're working for Planned Parenthood. What happens when you find out that these women are coming in pregnant and leaving, haven't had an abortion?
Well, you know, the unique situation is that where I worked, we didn't provide abortions. We didn't provide medical or surgical abortions. And so I think this is why it really can speak to people on different levels, because, you know, for the most part, the abortion facilities are not as available as the non-abortion facilities that Planned Parenthood runs. And so most of the time, you know, they're doing a really good job of fooling, you know, the people into thinking that Planned Parenthood is good, that they provide a great service. And they use that by, you know, saying, look at all these clinics and look at all the women that are helped. at these quote-unquote family planning clinics, which is where I worked. You know, we provided STD testing, we provided pap smears, and of course, birth control. And when I realized that somehow I was directly involved with abortion was because I was referring for abortions.
Okay.
So that's what really started to tug at my heart and my soul. And that's where kind of that spiritual tug of war started to take place, was because I was actually referring women for abortion.
Okay. All right. I tell you what, this might be a time to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to hear the rest of Ramona's story and talk about her book, Redeemed by Grace. And I think what you're saying about Planned Parenthood is so very, very important. I think they put the piece of candy out there and look at all the good we do while they're performing abortions in the back room. And I want everyone to stay tuned to find out more about this. So we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love in our lives. Visit marystouch.org to find out how you can help support us with your prayers and your donations. Find out more about Mary and tell us your story. It's all at marystouch.org.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte. We've been broadcasting Mary's Touch for 9 years now. Each and every year, we've won a special award, from being the best Catholic radio program in North America to being the best Catholic website at marystouch.org. So visit us there, marystouch.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And thanks for listening every week to Mary's Touch. Welcome back. We're visiting with Ramona Trevino. Let's find out more about her journey from Planned Parenthood and back.
Back home to the church.
There you go. There you go. Ramona, you were mentioning that you had to set up referrals for women to get abortions, and that, you know, maybe that's when the fight began, so to speak.
Yeah, my very first abortion referral, and keep in mind, I really went in with the mentality of I'm not going to have to directly be involved with abortion, because we didn't do abortions. That was something I didn't have to touch, something mm-hmm. I didn't have to involve myself with.
Or witness.
I really went in fooling myself, thinking that, convincing myself that I wouldn't have to do that. And I really know that I was just doing myself a disservice, because, you know, I was really not wanting to face the reality. And so, you know, when I made that very first abortion referral, I went into my office and cried. And it's, you know, that scene is detailed in the book, and kind of why, you know, I was upset, because really that's where I began to rationalize and make justifications for my job. And I think, you know, I always say to myself, I think that's kind of where I sold my soul to the devil, because I felt like God expected so much more of me at that moment. And I really felt like I let him down. And basically, you know, I look back at that moment and think, I could have said something different. I could have, you know, offered her help. I could have referred her to a pregnancy resource center. I didn't have to just say, well, this is your choice. This mm-hmm. is your decision, which is what I did, because I knew I couldn't say much. I couldn't offer a whole lot of help. And then after that, it just became easy. After I made that very first justification and began to rationalize things, it just became something that was natural to me. And so when people would call on the phone, I would just rattle off the phone number. I knew it by heart, and referred them to the Planned Parenthood in Dallas. We were about 60 miles north of Dallas, and so all referrals went into the Dallas location or the Fort Worth location where the actual surgical services were done. And I think that took a toll on me over
of
the
course,
years.
Of
just
course.
Knowing that I was culpable in that regard.
Yeah. Where were you in your spiritual life at that time, Ramona?
Yeah, my husband and I, before we got married in the church in 2006, we both entered fully into the church in 2005. And so when I began working for Planned Parenthood, it was in 2008. And, you know, during the course of those couple of years prior to working for Planned Parenthood, my husband and I were trying to be good Catholics, and we were trying to go to, you know, Mass regularly, but we failed often. And so when working for Planned Parenthood, I would still go to Mass, but it wasn't as frequent as it had been before. And then towards the end of my tenure, it became where I just didn't go at all. I just felt so much guilt.
And the guilt was sort of a eye-opening process for you, I take it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things where you recognize that there's this feeling of guilt, but you don't want to confront it, because if you do, then you're really going to have to start having, you know, answers for what you're doing. And I wasn't in a place where I wanted to be faced with that yet.
Well, you were Adam and Eve. You were Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and all of a sudden looking for clothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is most fascinating. And then as you put it to us earlier, and I'm fascinated by this, and that was a decision to seek the truth no matter what.
Yes. In 2010, in December 2010, I was really kind of, you know, just frustrated with my job. And there was a lot of things that were frustrating me at that point. A lot of them were administrative things, and I couldn't really put my finger on what was really bothering me. And I couldn't recognize, I think I was so blind that I couldn't recognize that it was really a spiritual battle that was taking place. And that, you know, I was working in a place of sin, and I couldn't really see that then. And so in December of 2010, right around Christmas, I was driving around the parking lot, going to do some last minute shopping, Christmas shopping. And I stumbled upon, I use that word loosely, stumbled upon Catholic radio. And that is when the first seed was planted and was really presented with the truth. I think the truth kind of hit me over the head in regard to contraception mainly. So I felt like my conversion really began with me seeing the truth of contraception and seeing and understanding the church's teaching and being able to look at that and look at my own contraception use. You know, it's just a huge revelation for me. Like, God revealed so much in those moments because, you know, I was using contraception, and I personally was against abortion. However, if contraception has the potential to be an abortifacient, then I potentially have aborted my own children through my use of contraception. And so that really, for me, was the moment where I was like, hold on, wait a second. You know, I can no longer say that I'm not okay with abortion if I'm using contraception. And not only that, I'm dispensing contraception at this clinic. So I really, you know, God allowed me to see myself through that first and kind of allowed me to see the truth in the church's teaching and understanding and grasping really for the first time why the church teaches against it. And then I was able to later apply all of that to my way of thinking and rationalizing, you know, the whole abortion issue, and then realizing that this isn't right. I can't stay here and continue to not only, you know, provide contraception, but then on top of that, refer abortions.
Did you sleep well at night?
I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it when something like that starts eating at you, so to speak, you know, I don't think you sleep well. You don't have good days. And thank goodness, yeah, there was no accident in you tuning into and hearing a Catholic radio show.
Many a time I've heard people say something very similar to that they were all of a sudden they would bump the car or the radio and there it was. And I'm with Sherry. I don't think those are accidents. These are very clearly being led. And you were obviously going through quite an experience here. And the result of that, you're redeemed by grace, is certainly a gift. And thank you for writing it and letting people know, because the spiritual journey doesn't have any precise moment of beginning that we can usually discern. But somewhere along the line, entering into your mind and heart were these seeds that were planted there by our loving God. And in the divine mercy, the love of Mary, our mother of all, entering into your heart. And God bless you for not turning a blind ear or eye, but opening yourself to the reality of the situation in which you were involved and having the courage to take it where it led you, no matter what that pain might be.
Thank you. It was an interesting time, that from that moment that I first heard that on Catholic radio up to the point that I finally was able to take the leap of faith and leave. And so often many people think that it should have, maybe happened sooner. But there was just, I think, even after hearing the truth for the first time, there was this continuous of spiritual battle of, okay, well, I need to know more. And, and then it became fear. Well, what do I do now that I know the truth? And, how do I just walk out of my job when I have nowhere else to go?
And right. And how do you get another job? How do I support absolutely. Myself? How do I support my children? There's so much to that. And so, Ramona, I know it's not only your story, but how you now help others to come back. And I don't, I think we have something planted in us by God, but we can only hear it when something happens. God's grace, I'm not sure what to call it. Maybe you can help me out here, Father, what that is. You know, it's that one moment where you go, oh my gosh, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. But then you're faced with, well, how do I get another job? You're not living in a big city. There's, I imagine, not a lot of jobs available. And then you have to start making that not only leap of faith, but that sacrifice that no matter what, I know what's right, and that's what I have to do.
Right, right. And that's exactly the process that I went through. And, if it had not been for my Catholic faith, the power of the rosary, the power of, Lent and the sacrifices that I made during Lent, the powers of the sacraments that I received and the grace that I received through the sacraments of reconciliation and the Eucharist and all of these beautiful things that we have in our Catholic faith. And then ultimately, Divine Mercy Sunday is what really, really led me out of Planned Parenthood and allowed me to take that leap of faith.
Yeah, how so?
Well, it was on Divine Mercy Sunday. It was May the 1st of 2011. We'll never forget the date. It was also the beatification of Pope John Paul II that day. So I'm in Mass with my family. And at this point, I was already reconciled and had, started going back to Mass regularly with my family. We all went. They all knew what I was going through. But it was on Divine Mercy Sunday where I sat in the pews and really heard God say to me, I forgive you and have faith in me. And that message was repeated over and over. And I just felt this sense of peace that, God was saying, I've got you, basically. Take this leap of faith and trust me. And so that really became my mantra from here on out was, Jesus, I trust in you in everything. And so I felt like, he was really saying, if you trust me, then you will leave this job and leave it all up to me. I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. And that was, for me, the defining moment where I knew I just needed to take that leap of faith with or without a job and just trust in Jesus wholeheartedly.
And so what job did you get after that?
Well, I ended up finding two jobs, but...
Oh, surprise! Two jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got one immediately, within a month, and I started as an insurance agent, and I felt like I was exploiting, senior citizens, so I quit after 3 days, and then I cried the whole time because I was like, this can't be, what God wants for me, and then I found another job where I was helping basically sell high-interest loans to people, and I felt like I was exploiting the poor, mm-hmm. and again, I stayed there, I think it was 3 months, and I cried and said, oh, this can't be what God wants for me, mm-hmm. And so I ended up quitting that job, and then just ended ultimately being a stay-at-home mom. And really, we were stripped away of everything that was financial and that we were holding on to. And I think we needed that. I think God needed to humble us and just put us in a place of total dependence upon Him. And that's how it's been for the past 4 years now.
Wow. But that you accepted that and faced that. And it's a beautiful, it's like, how can you say that? But it's a beautiful story that you lost everything because look where you are now.
Yes. Yeah. We needed to. We needed to have lost so much because we needed to realize that we were struggling to say, oh, well, we need to pay the car and we need to pay this and we need to pay that. And then we realized, we need to just let all of this go and not worry about any of this. And I just feel like God wanted us to see that we needed to live our lives for Him and not for, the things that we need materially in our lives. It really humbled both my husband and I, and our whole family was really, we've grown so much closer as a family, and just our faith, it has grown tremendously. And I think, I look back and I wouldn't have done it any different.
Well, that says a lot right there.
It certainly does. And what profit a man if he'll gain the whole world but suffer the loss of his own soul?
Yes. Ramona, before we have to close for today, I want to ask you, your story is so beautiful as you are, and how do you help younger women today maybe even go through what you went through or help dissuade them from having an abortion?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, being a stay-at-home mom, I don't have a lot of opportunities, you know, to go out and minister. But, you know, one of the ways that I feel like God has allowed me right now to help is by writing this book. And I'm hoping and praying that it will get into the hands of people who it would inspire and give them hope and really just bring them to the Lord. And I've seen that already. I've seen the fruits of that so far. I've been in contact with someone who actually is post-abortive.
Uh-huh.
And through that conversation and her reading my book, it has just absolutely blessed me tremendously to know that God is utilizing that in this way. I do have, on occasion, I get invitations to go out and speak and share my testimony. And so for me, I feel like these are little ways in which I can help right now, mm-hmm. until God opens a different door and I have another opportunity to help in other ways. But at this point, I'm open to God and just really allowing him to lead me wherever it is that I need to go.
Well, if we were all like that, huh?
That would be wonderful.
What a wonderful world it would be. I'd like to remind everybody that Ramona's book is called Redeemed by Grace. And quickly, how can our listeners get a hold of your book, Redeemed by Grace?
Sure. You can go to Ignatius.com. It's available at Amazon. And then, of course, you can check out your local Catholic bookstore. And then I do also want to let everyone know it is also available in Spanish.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you and all the work that you do. Father, here we go. It's that time.
Ramona, we really thank you for standing tall and letting people know the truth about the sin of abortion and letting people know that they do have some place to go, and that some place to go is into the arms of our blessed Lord. Let Mary introduce you. And if you have a Mary's Touch story, be sure and get hold of us at marystouch.org.
And Father, before your final blessing, also, we have a prayer ministry at Mary's Touch. And if you'll send us your prayer requests at marystouch.org, we take them individually and pray for your request at the Adoration Chapel. And we'd like to hear from you. That would be wonderful. Father, do you want to end this with one of your beautiful blessings?
Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of life. And now as we go forth, give us the strength to always stand up for love and life. And bless us all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her Son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.